on The Static this evening. It is fantastic to hear the voice of Alex G. How's things?
Things are good. How's things with you?
Things are real good, and my life's always slightly better when there's a new Alex G. record as well. You know, it's into, what, the ninth album or something? So are you still having fun doing this?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, and I don't have anything better to do with my time, I guess.
That must be hard, though, when you're getting more and more attention, or I guess picking up fans along the way. Does a level of stress enter into making a record anymore, or can you still be in the same mindset, Alex, that you were when you were just doing stuff for yourself or putting them up on Bandcamp in the early days?
There is a little more pressure, but it's not a big leap from record to record, like with the increase in pressure. You know, maybe it's slight every time, but I always feel pressure, but it's not increasing that much.
You also seem to find ways to make it look fun from the outside as well, because a lot of the Alex G albums have so many recording tricks about them. House of Sugar itself does plenty of ducking and weaving, Alex. Is that kind of an important component for you when you're putting a record together?
Yeah, I guess I can consider even the recording software an instrument. Since I'm recording everything myself, you know, I can afford to spend the time with it and manipulate the recordings till I get bored of them, you know, so it lends itself to a lot of fun stuff like that.
Yeah, you always seem to pull a few tricks out of your sleeve, and on this record, Nia is this multi-tracked vocals weirdness song, and Project 2 right after it is this instrumental sort of R&B jam. So do you find yourself going down a rabbit hole of having a straight song and then actually messing around with it to make it sound a bit more esoteric in your mind?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways, actually. Like Gretel, for example, which is one of the first singles, started out a lot more wacky, you know, and then over time I stripped it back and made it more normal. And then there's songs like Near that just got weirder and weirder as I fiddle with them, but it's more based on what the song is calling for, you know, rather than just making it weirder every time. It's just, I have the time to fiddle with it till it keeps my attention, you know.
It must also be good to dial it back sometimes and go, oh, there was actually a really normal song under here.
Right, yeah, exactly. I think sometimes I bury the thing too much with all the effects and stuff, and then when you take them away, it reminds you what the important part of the song is, you know.
Alex, another fascinating song on this record is Sugar, which is almost verging on Wanatrix territory. It's got these distorted robo vocals and a very filmic set of keyboard strokes. And I know that you had done some stuff with Daniel Lopatin. You did a cover of Babylon. So has working with some other people fed into some of the sounds on this record?
I'm sure subconsciously that all of that bleeds through, because it does sound, I agree with you, it does sound like Wanatrix, but never. But to be honest, it's not something I had thought about. But I think the whole process, I don't really think too hard about what's influencing it or not. You know, I'm just going off of my gut. But I'm sure you're right, where like all of these things are influencing it subconsciously.
Yeah, I think it is that conscious thing again. If you sat down one day and said, I'm going to write a song like Wanatrix, then you'd probably fail.
Exactly.
And it seems that a lot of these tricks, Alex, are also your way of making sure fans don't take the Sandy Alex G project too seriously or literally, right? Because you have a lot of obsessive followers. So I think it feels like some of these songs, it's good to throw them off the scent somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because, once again, I'm just going with my gut with most of these decisions. But a lot of times it's probably self-defense or something, you know. If you always have like a little tongue-in-cheek quality, then no one can really attack you at your true self, you know what I mean? I can always like hide behind my little ironic twist or something like that.
You can be a slippery guy when you need to.
Yeah, exactly.
On the flip side, Alex, on this record, a song like Hope is one of the most literal songs you've released, because that was written about an old share house you used to live in, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a story, like, I lived with some friends and one of them had a problem with substances, you know, and he ended up overdosing. You know, I people ask if it's like cathartic or something like that, but it's not really about that. I mean, I'm just trying to make stories, you know, and I'm just sort of reflecting on my life for source material for these stories. So that ended up being one of the stories. I guess that one, just I was trying out a different delivery style where it's just sort of rambling narrative as opposed to trying to be more minimal with the words, something like that.
Alex, the Sydney gig here showed also that you're probably at your most relaxed and happy when you're doing things off the cuff. I mean, that was a wild night. You do a mean cover of Randy Newman's You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story.
Oh, yeah. The Randy Newman cover is my friend Sam, who plays guitar in the band, he always pulls that out at funny moments during the set because it's pretty funny.
It was good to see that you can kind of go all over the place in a set too that night, and you also illustrated you can work your way through a lot of scotch and still keep playing, Alex.
Oh, well, I'm glad you think so. I got kicked out of the venue that night.
Well, I'm glad it happened post-show.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I just thought that never happened to me before, but like, I was loading out the gear and the bouncer was like, you're too drunk, man, you gotta leave the venue. I'm like, I have to clean up, I'm trying to just do my job. It was bizarre.
For this album, for the House of Sugar, you also worked again with Jacob Portrait from Unknown Mortal Orchestra. You two obviously have a good rapport because you've done a few records together now. Is he a help when you're a solo artist to have someone whose opinions you value to trust and bounce ideas off?
Yeah, he's great. Especially with this album, I used a different microphone with this album than I've used in the past. So it was kind of new territory. And so it was great having someone like him with experience, you know, with recording and stuff to be able to tell me when something needs to be re-recorded or if the drums aren't hitting hard enough. Like, there was a couple instances where he's like, oh, you have to re-record these drums if you really want this song to hit people as hard as you want it to hit them, you know, so stuff like that.
So outside of artistic input, he's good tech support as well.
Yeah, major tech support. I appreciate it.
It's good to see, Alex, that you're also paying that stuff forward now too, because you just co-produced the Glitterer record for Ned from Title Fight's solo project. So are you a good project manager for other people's records?
Kind of. I mean, with Ned's record, it was me, Ned, and this other guy named Arthur Rizik. And Arthur was the real project manager, I'd say. Like, Arthur's the one who has tons of experience recording bands and stuff like that. And I was just there, I guess, for Ned to bounce ideas off of, or if I saw something sounded off, I would say, or if I thought it sounded good, I would say. Like, I was just another filter.
So you were more like moral support?
Yeah, something like that. Like, moral support, just offering my input here and there, but I wasn't as strong of a force as Arthur was in making that record happen. And Ned, obviously.
It's also good to see, Alex, that one other person you kept working with is Emily Lucena, and she's back on this record. She did the vocals on Bobby on the last album, so she's almost like the Dolly Parton to your Porter Wagoner, right? She's your kind of country partner.
Yeah, I mean, I just known her forever, you know. I mean, we're from the same town and stuff, so it's someone I can trust. I usually only want to reach out to people that I have some kind of history with. Like, it's almost like I don't have her specifically in mind. It's just that she's my go-to whenever I'm, like, looking for an outside vocal.
The song Southern Sky that she's on this record is another country lilt, and I'm wondering almost if it was inspired by Australia with that title, Alex.
You know, I don't know where that title came from. I have this book I kept where I was writing down pieces of dialogue from my dreams and stuff for about a year, and I was flipping through it when I was making this record, and one of the quotes was, "It's okay, we don't cry, we love the southern sky," and then I just wrote a song around that.
That's not the right answer. You're supposed to say, yes, of course it was inspired by Australia.
Well, and it was inspired by Australia.
The closing song on this record, Alex, is another curveball because it's a live track. So were you starting to think that some of your best performances were on stage, or how did Sugar House Live end up closing this record?
I mean, a couple reasons. One of them being that I have a ton of respect for the band that I tour with and play with, and they're close friends of mine, so I wanted to have them on the record. But I think the other thing I had in mind was just the fact that it was a new experiment, you know, putting this live song in the context of the studio album, I thought might be an interesting way to make it kind of like meta or something like that, you know. Not that I had any clear theory or something. You know what I mean? It was just an experiment. I didn't really know what I thought of it.
It's the kind of thing Neil Young used to do in the 70s, you know, record records all over the place. And this one's got some smoking saxophone.
Yeah.
And Sugar House is actually a casino in Philadelphia where you live, right?
Yeah, and just going back to Neil Young, I didn't mention that, but that's exactly what I was thinking, because this was in the 90s, but he has this album, Harvest Moon. You know, it's a studio record, but he'll have live songs in there. One or two of those songs are live. And listening to that record is such a trip for me, and I wanted to capture that feeling. But yeah, back to Sugar House, that's correct. That's a casino kind of down the street from me.
I was almost hoping that this song had been recorded live in the casino.
That would be cool. I don't know if they would enjoy our show very much. But
I think you need to work it out. You know, everybody else does Vegas. You could do Sugar House in Philadelphia as your residency.
Yeah, we need to learn a whole lot of covers, I think.
We might have a listen to that song now on the radio, and there's plenty of casinos in Sydney if you ever want to come back and step it up next time you tour here, Alex.
Oh, that would be a blast, yeah.
We'll look into it. It's so great to have the record out, and it's always great to have a talk to you. We'll have plenty of scotch again next time you're in Sydney, I guess.
All right, that sounds great.
Here it comes. This is the closing song on House of Sugar, Sugar House from Alex G on Static. Thanks.
Thanks, man. That was a fun interview.